Man, you look sleepy. Good news, short service, at least as far as my part's concerned. Have you ever overestimated yourself? I guess we all have. I really personally am very slow to ever overestimate myself in some areas because I know that I am the least mechanically inclined man, not just in this congregation, but probably in Midland, Texas. It's not an area where I tend to overestimate my abilities. Another area that I may not overestimate my ability is in the area of soccer. I know next to nothing about soccer, and I got to be honest, I don't care to know a whole lot about it. But I really appreciate the stamina and the teamwork that goes into being a good soccer team. I do appreciate that a whole lot. Think about sometimes, though, that we do overestimate ourselves or we overestimate others. I heard the story about a guy that had a dog, and he wanted to show his dog to a professional dog trainer. And so, you know, he did various things with his dog. Roll over, speak, play dead. And the dog trainer that does this for their livelihood watched all of this very nicely. And then the fellow said, "What do you think about how well my dog is trained?" And the dog trainer says, "That dog is not trained. You have just taught him a few tricks." I wonder sometimes if that's not how it is in the church. If people are not being trained, but they're being taught a few tricks. It can really happen that way. The lesson is about congregational development and about being passionate about developing congregations that look and act and respond like Jesus. Remember these three words, people. People, that's the first word. Second word, training. Training. Third word, multiplication. We want people to be trained in such a way that more people will come to Jesus, look like Jesus, reflect Jesus, and honor Jesus. And when you stop and think about it, that's exactly the way the Lord emphasized things with the apostles, and it's the way the church grew in the book of Acts. People, training, multiplication. Got it? But it is easy to overestimate ourselves sometimes. You know, just talking about everybody going to Andrews later in the kickball game, part of me really wants to do this, but that would be a serious overestimation of myself at this point in my life. I'd like to try it, but I can see me just pulling a hamstring really easy. Maybe you can too. We can overestimate ourselves. You know, a person has learned something about adulthood, and then they enter the world of marriage, and it's a whole new world, isn't it? One can overestimate oneself and your ability to handle being married. And if that's not complicated enough, about the time you get used to one another in a marriage, guess what comes along? Children, babies. And you're just now kind of getting this marriage thing down, and then parenting. And parenting multiple children requires gifts and skills that we may never have known that we needed to have. Think about that. So often in the church, we go from people to trying, people to trying, rather than people training multiplication. And then we wonder why things don't work out. What I'd like to do is look at congregational development and four aspects of congregational development. be short, simple, and to the point. Four aspects for developing healthy, growing congregations. Number one, in every aspect of church life, knowledge must be developed. Knowledge must be developed. Growing in grace and knowledge, 2 Peter 3:18. Having a sense of love that abounds more and more with all knowledge and discernment, Philippians 1:9-11. We are concerned that people learn God and His will. We ought to be. So we talk about congregational development, and it's about knowledge. It may begin there, but it cannot stop there. It can begin there, but it cannot stop there. That brings me to a second aspect. What we're talking about is character. Character development. I cringe when I hear about congregations where elders go crazy and preachers are promiscuous and bring all kinds of reproach upon the church. But you know, it happens because it's possible to emphasize knowledge development without character development. Both must be stressed. Both must be properly balanced. And for congregations to grow and to truly be healthy, the knowledge base must be emphasized, but also character development. We want individual Christians to look and speak and act more like Jesus. Romans 8:29. That brings me to a third aspect of congregational development. Let's call this skills. Most of the time, conservative, sound congregations are pretty strong in emphasizing knowledge development and wanting there to be character development. But here is where the ball might be dropped sometimes regarding congregational development. Skills development. Broadly speaking, you can divide skills development into two areas. On the plus side, the positive side, skills development has to do with emphasizing what people love and do well. Emphasizing what people love and do well. Bo over there likes to sing. I don't think he's going to be nearly as comfortable preaching, but you can lead us in song and be very comfortable because you love to praise God and you want us to be involved with you. That's just an example. Some people love to be around young people. Some people love to be around older people and to encourage them. See what people do well. Encourage it. Emphasize it. Let them serve in areas that they are already showing a love and skill for. But on the other side of the coin, there's the negative. The positive was emphasizing what they do well. The other side has to do, the negative aspect has to do with smoothing rough edges that are not quite as well developed as they ought to be. You think about the 8 men that we are supporting to go to school right now to preach the gospel. They are in an environment that ought to accentuate and encourage what they do well, but they also are in an environment that ought to be polishing and smoothing out some rough edges that they might possess. All to help them honor the Lord and to be more like Jesus. People, yes. Training, yes. Multiplication, all right? Now let me talk a little bit more about this. Terry Skills, and seeing this as an elder in the church, has to do again with what seeing people do well and encouraging it, but also helping them to refine and smooth out and polish those rough areas. That involves modeling. It involves practice. As a congregation, we want to encourage our young men to sing, but we want to encourage them more and more to really sing with the Spirit and with the understanding, don't we? And we want guys like James to get up and speak for us, but we want to encourage him to continue to develop and improve in his skills, giving him an opportunity to practice, to listen to him, to encourage him. Modeling, practicing. And then there's this idea of structuring. The reason why we are supporting 8 guys in schools of preaching like Southwest and Bear Valley Bible Institute, quite simply, is because they are given a structure in their classes and during their 2-year time in those schools that can benefit them for the rest of their lives. I'm sure Adam would say that about the particular school that he attended, that it blessed him in a number of ways, my time at Freed Hardeman and elsewhere, but this is not what everybody gets. I can speak of my son, our son, and your friend and brother, David Vestal, never went to a place that would help him with structure. And believe you me, he is very concerned that he try to make up for lost time, because he wants to have good structure in his life. He wants to grow. He wants to be a person, you see, that makes the most of his skill set. You also have the idea of evaluation. When a person is really being dealt with and their skills, they are evaluated. One of the things I will do, for example, at Bear Valley, when I was there last by the elders' good graces and your good wishes, I assigned a sermon from the parables of Jesus to about 17 students. I will listen to 16 lessons. A young lady will speak before the dean of the women and several of the ladies and do her lesson. I'll listen to full-length sermons, and what I'm going to do by way of evaluation is anything that they are doing really well, I want to talk to them about and encourage. And then I might look for 1 or 2 areas that are kind of rough edges that I can address as encouragingly and positively as I can, so they'll pay attention to it. And they'll be better preachers. So this idea of evaluation brings a form, a final idea for this idea of skills, a final concept for this idea of skills. Accountability. Accountability. Making the effort to keep growing, to keep progressing, to be devoted to the public reading of Scripture, to encouragement and the like. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13. Now, the fourth aspect. If you're following along, knowledge. The second one was what? Character, that's right. Third one is what? Skills. The fourth one, multiplication. Multiplication. In Luke 6 and verse 40, Jesus taught, "Everyone that is fully trained will be like their teacher." Now think about that. Everyone that is fully trained will be like their teacher. Ultimately, they'll be like Jesus. Think about the Great Commission, because often we don't look at it in the sense of people, training, multiplication, but we ought to. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Turn to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, Paul speaks to a younger preacher, Timothy. And he says, that which you have received from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will in turn be able to teach others. What you've received from me, teach others who will teach it to others. Multiplication from you, from me, to others, to others. Multiplication. It's always about people and relationships in the church, and that's why we ought to love the church, because the church is people. The church is people, like the children sing. Relationships with one another and relationships with God. It's not just about programs, because, you know, people, when we train them, will produce more people, and the body of Christ will be multiplied. We may be involved in programs, and I'm sure that that's going to always be true. But when we emphasize congregational development, developing people, younger, older, newer Christians, older Christians, what an amazing difference it will make. Thank you for listening. Everybody, take a look at your watch. 1:39. We might make it home around 2:00. Maybe. But you know what? If there's somebody here that's a Christian and wants to make their life right with God, and they want to say, you know, I have not really loved the church the way that I should have. I've gotten discouraged. I've been let down by people, and I know that I've let down others. We would be humbled and thrilled to pray with you. It may be that there's somebody in this assembly that needs to have their sins washed away by Jesus this very moment. We'd be so happy to stay. Nobody'd fall asleep if you want to be baptized, I'll guarantee you that. We'd all be so happy for you. It's about people. It's about training. It's about multiplication. Let the church say amen. Let us stand and sing.